in association with Newsarama. Welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. It's time for part two of the Bendis tapes, more of our conversation with Marvel writer Brian Michael Bendis about his current work for Marvel Comics, his creator-owned books for Icon, and some Hollywood projects we will and won't see in the months ahead. We'll start the conversation in just a couple minutes, but first I wanted to give you a few show notes. Last month from Two Hours Publishing, the Comic Book Podcaster Companion came out, and Word Balloon is featured in the book, along with a lot of our friends in the podcasting world of comic books. And Tomorrow's is offering the book at a special 40% discount, and that is going on through September 1st. It's normally $15.95, but until then, you can get the book for only $9.57 by entering the following discount coupon code at checkout. It is podcast40off. There's a link for that and information as well at the Word Balloon message board if you go over there, and I will put it on the front page on the Word Balloon website. But wanted to make you aware of this 40% off discount of interviews with your favorite comic book podcast hosts. It's a great book written by Eric Houston, the Comic Book Podcast Companion, on sale 40% off through September 1st from Tomorrow's. One other thing, I've started to dabble in the video world. I'm not as adept as my pals at iFanboy or Geek2Me, but I have to say that I'm getting better and posting new videos at YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/wordballoon, you will find videos there, some short creator interviews at some comic book store signings, and tours of some of my favorite comic book stores as well. With convention season coming up, you're guaranteed to see a lot more creator interviews and fun moments at Word Balloon's YouTube page. Be sure to check it out. Okay, this is starting to get like a school assembly. Let's get back to the Bendis tapes. It's part two right here on Word Balloon. Omega Flight. Hey, Brian. Hey, John. How you guys doing? I just want to say, firstly, I'm enjoying both of your works. You, Brian, with your current comics, which I do enjoy, and I've gotten into Ultimate Spider-Man over the last couple months, thanks to Requiem. And, John, honestly, got to say, sometimes I don't even pay attention to the interviews because your voice steals the show. What's your secret? You know, if I were gay, I'm guessing I'd have a shot with Omega Flight. So that's very nice.
I think you still do. I don't think you have to be gay.
It's
yours. Don't start labeling things. Just love him.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's okay. Here's his questions. What is the deal with Captain Marvel? Are we?
Hey.
Well, that's what it says. Are we going to get a spotlight on him soon? He's the elephant in the room for me, since I know you're not Grant Morrison, but he seems so different from the way he was portrayed within his mini. I'm also curious as to his reasons for wanting to stay on Earth and not find a way to get home. I can think of a blonde that's one of those reasons.
Well, you know, you're going to get a lot of Marvel Boy. I'm putting a lot of effort into a Marvel Boy larger arc that's been going on since the Illuminati miniseries. And, in Grant's excellent miniseries, he's quite the brat. He's quite the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's quite the rabble rouser, and it's immature, and I like the idea of someone coming here being a dick and then having to grow the fuck up. And he's stuck here, and he can either be a brat and sit in jail or grow the fuck up and be Captain Marvel. What are you going to do? You know, and the Illuminati comes to him and goes, hey, we're going to go a couple ways. Grow up. And then having been faced with these elements that he's seen during Secret Invasion and such to grow up. And I also like the idea of having someone on the Dark Avengers team who didn't know that the rest of them are insane. And I thought, because from an alien's point of view, what would, you know what I mean? It
should
take a while for an alien to figure out, Bullseye is not a normal human being, because he doesn't know what a normal human being is like. He's only met Namor.
Well, and three very different characters that can have that same take. Ares, the Sentry, and obviously Marvel Boy.
And so I like the idea of Moonstone going, well, we're a bunch of criminals and murderers. And he goes, oh, what? You're what? Well, no, because no one ever announces that they are. You know, you have to find that out for yourself. And I thought that was a fun thing to do with him. So you're going to get a lot of FaceTime with him.
Well, and another thing I like about Dark Avengers, too, are... In some ways, going back to that issue 5, and more so in issue 4, are Bob and Norman's conversations. Those are great. Yeah,
I like them. And I, as I go on, because I saw people really responded to the first one, and then the one that just happened in this issue was kind of a slap in the face of that other one, which is Norman kind of fucking with everything and everybody, and people are digging the back and forth.
Very cool.
So yeah, and I'm also I got to tell you, I'm very happy with how well that book's doing. You always hope for the best, but New Avengers does very well, and Dark Avengers is doing better than it, and it's quite amazing, actually.
That's cool. Well, you know, yeah. Hey, man, the last time we did the Venice tapes, I told you that, and this is just me, but I wasn't crazy with the way the Secret Invasion ended in its own series, but liked the wrap-ups in the two Avenger books.
Sure.
And was kind of like, I don't know how Dark Reign is going to be, but no, I think Dark Reign is becoming the event that you guys wanted it to be, where every book has its own purpose in how to attack this new status quo.
No, yeah, all these writers came up with really unique takes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and really, from Dan Way to Jeff Parker to everyone down the line, everyone is finding ways for their characters to work in, and they're doing it in their voices, and it's good.
All right, cool.
But that's me. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
cool. No, I'm thrilled. I got to let the dogs out as we...
Do you truly?
Yeah, okay. Hear the heavy breathing here. That's not me finishing.
This would be Bendis's Baja Men, then, as he lets the dogs out.
Yes.
Thank you. God, I hate that song. Who does? Who likes that
song? Now it's in all our heads. Yeah, you're going to sing it, but we don't have to write for it.
You said you got to let the dogs out. I'm sorry. I think everyone went who, who, who.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
All right, never mind.
Not my guys. Only fake Pat did.
Are you pleased with how things have come with Dark Reign and the Secret Invasion Aftermath line of books? I just kind of led into that without even realizing it. Also, are you planning on taking things cosmic soon?
Not doing cosmic, but I am very, very happy with the way things are going, Dark Reign, and I'm very, very happy with the list specials.
Okay.
Very, very happy with those. And that is one of those things where, unrelated to my special with Marco, which is maybe the greatest comic ever made, I think that the other specials are exactly the kind of comics I would buy, and I'm very happy they're being produced.
Brown Bear 76. When you come up with an idea like Dark Reign, do you have the end of it clearly in mind? Do you say to yourself, I want Norman to be in charge for X number of issues, and then bam, you end it? Or is it much more fluid that it can go on forever if the story is working?
You always kind of want to know where you're going, even if you kind of leave yourself open to, like the comic book version of that idea is, you know where you're going, but you're open to how you get there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got to know why you're on the road and where the road's going, but how long you're on the road, that's up to you. So yeah, a writer always kind of knows where he's going.
Do you have any plans to do a new Avengers versus Kang story?
Not now. I've done some questionable time travel stories recently, so I'm going to kind of take it easy for a while.
I like the Mighty story, if that's what you're talking about, but that's me.
No, I'm just farting around, but I had Morgan Le Fay and the past fucking with the future, and what happened, if you pull that string too many times, you start going, well, why doesn't everyone just go in the past and kill each other? I mean, just, you know, you can really screw things up. And,
sure.
And I still want to do, man, every day I think about, I had this idea, I had Life on Mars. Planned out for the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I remember you saying this. Go ahead.
Yeah, about Quasar, like, getting stuck in the 70s Marvel.
Yeah, yes.
And that'd be the series, and that was before Life on Mars came out, and once Life on Mars comes out, you know. So I think about that every day. I'm wondering if there's a time that can go by where I can do that without people thinking it's a clever homage as opposed to a ripoff, which it would never was even.
I know down the line there's a Q&A about another subject that you were toying with that was done by another creator, so I'll
Are
wait.
You reading ahead?
I read the whole thing. And of course, when I said no more questions, and even those questions. Dick.
This is my fun thing. He
Please.
Goes, no more questions. And
Please.
I go, no, ask some more questions.
Please
no.
close the thread. Please close
yeah,
the thread.
Close the thread. That's fun, not closing the thread. I just do that to fuck with John. That's funny.
That was the tone
it
of it.
One button to close the thread. I wouldn't do it.
I think I sent him like 10 emails. Like, please, just close the thread, okay? Oh, I think it's still open.
My
Brian,
favorite question is coming up, and it'll probably be our last one, is Lord Retail, who, by the way, runs a cult. He said, oh, it's too bad the questions are closed because I wanted to ask, and he asked the question. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, I think we covered that. That's I did get the question in because, I asked you about Heroes Con, and that's why. I'm like, well, of course we're going to talk about Heroes Con. It just happened. So
right.
That's
well, this is board news only, but what I found out in Heroes Con is that Lord Retail, our awesome Lord Retail, it runs a cult. He literally, he didn't show up till Sunday, And it was 2 days of his
pagan.
People who go to his store and the people who work for him
coming
up to me going, he's coming, for retail, he's coming. And you wouldn't believe it. You think I'm joking around. I couldn't believe it. It's hilarious.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, he's a nice guy.
Back to normal talk.
Raven Gregory wants to know, there was a real cool scene with Electro back in New Avengers with the girlfriend that kind of set the tone for Dark Avengers, being that villain as characters were finally portrayed as real people with real problems. Any chance of bringing Electro back into the mix?
Not right now, but yeah, I did like that scene. I do like Electro.
And are they ever going to explain Gray Hulk, Green Hulk, and now back to Gray?
In what? In Ultimate Spider-Man? Ultimates?
I don't know. I thought, because unfortunately I'm not reading every Hulk book. I'm reading Jeff's, but I didn't know that if Bruce Banner Hulk has recently gone back to gray. The only place I know of him as gray is the Ultimate.
No, he was green, and then he injected himself again and turned gray, and then he injected himself again and turned green or something like that. And it was explained.
In 616.
You might not have liked the explanation, but it was there.
In 616, or are you saying is that the Ultimate?
Ultimate. I think it's talking about Ultimate.
Right, but, okay.
But I think so. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But I found that most times when people say that wasn't explained, that it was explained, you just did not like the explanation and would like another one.
All right.
And, you know, that's funny, too, to me.
Too cheesy. Mr. Bendis, I've been tremendously enjoying Dark Avengers, and the first four issues made me wonder if Marvel has a system or invented language in place for when writers want to have mystical characters speak to use magic, or if you created it yourself for LeFay and Doom. Graham Morrison also wants to know.
No, I have. It's like Klingon. I have created an entire language. It's Latin based, and no, I have a style of gibberish that I put together. That is definitely sounded out and very sincere, but it's sadly gibberish. I'm sorry. I know that kind of ruins the magic of it, but
is it left to Chris?
What I'm hoping is if I keep typing enough letters, I'll create some word that will actually be magic, and things will happen.
Is it left to the letterer then to kind of come up with glyphs, or
No. I type it out. It's in the script.
All right.
You don't leave things up to Chris Iliopoulos.
There you go.
You end up with Pet Avengers.
Nice.
Boy,
you are just merciless with him in that poor series. He's doing fun. It's funny.
It's press.
has
the only reason that thing sold is because of me. Me, I tell you. Okay.
Unbelievable. Has Kasana made the fact that the 616 version of Five Guys and Fries also sells onion rings part of official Marvel canon?
That was funny.
All right. Tarfang from Belfast. ME. Is that Maryland? Maine? Probably Maine, I think. Hey, Bendis and John, the past weekend at HeroesCon came the unofficial unveiling, I guess, of the new digital comics initiative, Longbox Digital Comics. While it isn't out there for public usage yet, at least I don't think it is, what did you think about the iTunes model being used for comics, and do you think it still needs that killer piece of hardware like the iPod was to digital music before it takes off?
Well, all I say for now is I spent most of my free time at HeroesCon getting lengthy tutorials and infotainment infomercials from every forefront person in digital comics, not only Rance, but some other people, the Comixology guys and some other IDW guys and some other people who sat me and the other creators down and really let us know what's happening in the world. And so I have some tough decisions to make very quickly about my feelings about that, and I will be making those decisions soon. Of course, I'm going to Howard Stern you now. I am a pioneer in motion comics with the Spider-Woman digital that will be coming out on iTunes. And I say pioneer by ignoring the thousands of comics that are already on iTunes.
Very good. Do you know how well the Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited is doing?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to tell you. If you saw the NDA I've had to sign, it's thicker than my my, you know.
Your prize-winning ass? Your poll-winning ass?
It's thicker than my circumcision.
All right. Wow.
Man, I know shit. I know, so let me tell you what I know about. I know stuff about the movies, the TV shows. I know every nerd thing you could ever want to know. I know shit I don't even want to know.
Greg Morris is Dr. Voodoo. Actually, Phil Morris would be Dr. Voodoo because Greg is dead. Greg would be the guy that was on the original Mission Impossible.
Oh, okay.
Phil is Jackie Chiles. Phil was Jackie Chiles. Come on.
You're so old.
Jackie Chiles, Seinfeld.
You're literally a 90-year-old man stuck in a
45-year-old body. Exactly. Not that much, you know, only halfway there.
How many times this week did you say out loud in your apartment to nobody in particular, taking Pelican 1-2-3, now that I have Walter Matthau, thank you.
Loeb and I talked about that.
I'm sure you did.
Come on, man. That's, you know, that's one of, what's his face, bats at 500, and this would be one of his shitty movies.
Who, Tony Scott?
It's Tony Scott.
Is it a shitty movie? I thought it was a good movie.
I heard shitty things, and I stayed away. I'm sorry, John Travolta is bad guy, has let me down most of the time, whether it's Broken Arrow or fucking The Punisher.
Hello?
Or
Broken Arrow? Are you kidding me? I'm joking.
Well, and The Punisher and Mad City, Ethiopia's favorite film.
Mad City, that's right.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. And then Spidey616. Hey again, John and Bendis. Thanks again for doing another one of these great tapes. Congratulations on the success of Dark Avengers, one of my favorite titles to come out of Dark Reign. I was curious how far your plans for the title are. Do you hope to work on it as long as New Avengers, or will another writer eventually take over like with Mighty Avengers?
No, I'm going. I know my plans are long and tiresome.
And since I think you mentioned it on the last Bendis tapes, can we get an update on when we might be seeing the Infinity Gems again? One of the dangling plot lines of the Illuminati.
Early next year?
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Or you're already seeing them. What?
Very nice. O'Connell.
Hey, I like when I scare John. John's like, not sure if I'm joking or not. Not sure if he should follow up or not.
I lean back.
He gets confused. I try, he doesn't know what to do.
I try to lean back when you scream.
Still thinking about Walter Matthau.
For crying out loud. I should be in that movie. I'm dead, but I don't care.
Hey, yeah, by the way, how many fucking openings do I have to give you to do the voice? There was six times.
You know, I think people get sick of it. That's why I put in Seinfeld. God. I try to do different voices. I like to change it up.
Seinfeld. You do what you do.
All right. I've got more than one.
When you watch the Kevin Pollak podcast, did you do Shatner? Yes?
I could do Shatner if I needed to.
You do what you do.
It's like a bad dream I just keep having over and over. That's my Albert
Brooks. Let me know when you do Shatner.
Shut up. And O'Connell, MD. Thanks, John, for the great podcast in Everville. Thank you, my man. I'm missing my first San Diego con since 1994 this summer. He is, and it's got him bummed. I could use a vicarious con thrill or two. Do you have any wacky tales from your recent convention trips that you haven't already shared? Celebrity stories, annoying and or dangerous fan stories, new furry orgy invites?
No, you know, not much. I just to use it to hang out with friends. I will tell you, there was something that hit the web. You may have seen this, that a guy left a nasty note.
I did see that.
On my table. I hate to bring it up, but obviously I don't because I brought it up. But a couple people took pictures of this. This guy wrote a nasty letter on my table about waiting for me when I wasn't scheduled. Well, what happened was I wasn't scheduled to be there. I was actually at a panel. I was actually somewhere else. Doing my scheduled entertainment for the show, and no one told this guy. And when someone finally told him, because everyone I was doing the panel with was the guy sitting next to me at the table, so there was no one around to tell him. So he got very angry at me, only to find out that he was wrong. And so though he had written this thing in ink and people take a picture, put it on the web, and people were very angry at this guy and felt bad for me, and I did appreciate the pity, because Lord knows I love pity. I did meet the guy, and he was very embarrassed and very, you know, well humored about the whole thing. So
good.
Yeah, it wasn't any weirdness. But no, everything was pretty good. Actually, I got to tell you, Heroes is like the only kind I've done in a while, and I did Emerald City. But both those experiences were so overwhelmingly cool. You know, sometimes when you stay home with the interweb, you kind of forget that people really like comics.
Yeah. Well, since we've spoken, you did do New York.
I did?
We talked to each other in New York.
I don't remember that at all.
That was February.
Was it?
Shut up.
Well, what month is it now? John, right. If you knew how much shit goes on in my everyday, that's all like 8 years ago. Yeah. I got two kids, three dogs, and some fish. There's a lot going on here. All right?
I understand. I'm curious if you've ever gotten pages back from an artist, and the art was so completely not what you asked for in the script that you had to call bullshit and request a whole redo of a page.
I was gonna change it to the title of the book to Daredevil Bullshit, but I decided, what? No, that's not true. No, you know what? I've had a very, I mean, and I'm not being braggy here. This is you can see this every week or so when my books come out. I'm a very blessed man in this area. I get a lot of guys working their A-game guys doing A-game material. So it's very rare that I get a panel and I go, what the fuck? What the hey? What the who? We're on the same page. We're discussing. We're talking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to their experience. So I rarely have that. I actually can't think of the last time that something came to me and I went, oh, you know.
Sure.
I mean, sometimes an artist will go, what do you think of this between two choices? Or you know, is this what you meant? And I'll go, no, how about that? And they'll, you know, but that's completely different. I mean, the last time I had such a rough time of it was Daredevil Ninja, which we've talked about in the past. I'm not going to get into
Indeed.
Now.
Yes.
And will not be in the Daredevil Omnibus that was recently solicited.
Oh, it won't. Okay.
No, we're going to put in the Ultimate Daredevil issues I did with Bill Sienkiewicz because I thought, wouldn't it be great to put in things that I actually liked in the book?
That's cool because that is a great team-up, and that really was.
It is a great one, and people don't.
That was three issues, right?
It was three issues. It was Bill Sienkiewicz. I think it was kick-ass Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yeah.
So, hey, yeah.
What was Spider-Man, The Punisher, and Daredevil? What's not to like?
Yep, exactly. So that'll be in there instead.
Outstanding.
That's much more, and also much more fitting to the tone of the Omnibus, as it were.
Cool. Maestro, what is the deal with Victoria Hand? I like her hairstyle. When are we going to get the big arc about Victoria? Nothing.
No, she's getting an issue. She's getting an issue coming up. You're going to find out everything you ever wanted to know about Victoria.
I've been reading through the Daredevil Omnibus, and I love it. Have you ever thought of returning to the book someday? And why do you have more Spider-Man stories to tell than Daredevil?
Just did. I don't have an answer for that. The second question, but you know, working on Daredevil stuff with End of Days and stuff. So, yeah, I don't. I feel like I'm sort of working on a Daredevil project right now. So,
by the way, love the Electro moment in issue 37. Can't wait for Spider Woman. Really, stop making me wait.
Yeah, I really am sick of making you wait. It's really cool, and it will be shipping shortly.
Excellent. Dr.
But I'll rewind to that question about art. I'll tell you what I do send back to the editor quite often is I'll get crazy with the coloring notes and make sure the coloring is helping tell the story and not just coloring it in and making it all flashy.
Okay.
And again, in this area, I work with great guys, so it's not anything but. Me going, oh, I meant this, and then going, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know.
Sure.
So I do get crazy with the coloring there.
Maybe I have to talk to you before I talk to Val Staples. I'm going to talk to him before the Eisners because I want to, and it's part of my whole phobia of like, you know, with artists. It's like I just don't know what to ask him sometimes. So yeah, colorists would be one of them. So
just ask him all the questions you're asking me.
All right.
Just bring this list around, and you'll never be, you know.
Did you hate taking of Pelham 1-2-3-2? let's see. Dr. Catclops. Hey, Brian and John. Theater-related questions. I bet I know the answer to this question. Are you a fan of Harold Pinter? If so, what is your favorite play?
I am, and I loved his play about the hooker. I wrote that joke 2 weeks ago.
All right.
I couldn't tell you off the bat. I don't have a favorite, but I do have two giant volumes of Harold Pinter right in this house.
Yeah, it was a shame when he passed away this year. What are your thoughts?
He did a great run on Teen Titans.
Pinter. I love Beast Boy. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Brecht's concept of epic theater when the audience knows it's watching a play, removing that illusion of reality and the distancing effect, which prevents the audience from losing itself passively and completely in the character created by the actor, and which consequently leads the audience to be consciously critical observer? Can you work it in comics? And that's not even half the question, but go ahead.
It's hard to know whether he's fucking around or not, isn't it?
Yes. I know you and your peers take pride in doing character studies and talking about the importance of character and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, blah, blah, blah,
blah,
my
blah,
ass.
Blah. By the way, I take a lot of importance in the second blah. That's the one where I take the most pride in my blahness.
But let's start with that idea of, you know, how Brecht kind of lets everyone know, okay, it's a play. I mean, would you... I don't know how you can really do that in comics, actually.
It's a very good question, and I'll take it down a notch to the more to this audience, to our audience's level of the Gary Shandling show, and the original Gary Shandling show.
Yes, loved it. Showtime show.
No, there is something cool that can be done by breaking the fourth wall and engaging the audience on levels. But what you take away from that is you're constantly reminding the audience that what they're watching isn't real, and that's very difficult to do, to get them to even think of what you're doing as real, and to go out of your way to break that can be disastrous. It's particularly when you're working with elements of fantastic things.
Sure.
I think when you're already dealing with a Spider-Man or what have you, to go out of your way to remind them that, you know, this isn't real and nothing bad's going to happen, and you know, it's completely counterproductive. So that's what my initial response to most stories. I'm not saying that it can't be done or that I won't want to do it in the future, but you always think to the worst version is like Last Action Hero. And the reason Last Action Hero really doesn't work. No, I'm being totally serious.
Okay.
The reason it doesn't work on any level is that it constantly reminds you it's just a movie. So you can't even like get sucked into it.
I understand. And that's what I was going to say. Yeah, absolutely. And you can tell when it's hacky. And, I mean, you know, Graham Morrison obviously did a great job of it in Animal Man when he would occasionally do it.
In some places.
Oh, really? I liked it in Animal Man. I can think of recent versions where or recent times where it didn't work for me. You know, but Animal Man, I would say, is one that did. I also like Starman in Jeff Johns' Justice Society.
Where didn't it work for you?
Honestly, last page of Wanted. I'll be honest, and I'm talking to Mark Friday. But
what happened on the last page of Wanted?
Here's me telling you know, fucking you up your ass or whatever. When he looked at the
reader. And
yeah, it's like I mean, it was like okay, I get it. It's okay, and it's like, and I wasn't offended, but I was just like, oh, all right. You know, it's like. All right, fine, Mark, if that's what you want to do. And not offended in any way, but I was just, like, shrugged. And I'm like, I would have been happy with him just doing a normal voiceover going, of course I took the money. Of course I became the bad guy. I'm not an idiot. You know, and
that's also the last page of War Heroes.
Is it really? And Garth?
How will we ever know? It's Mark Millar's book. Is it War Heroes?
Oh, that's okay. I was thinking.
There's a Mark Millar joke because the book never shifts. I'm making a joke.
Oh, there. Oh, is it done? Is it not? Is it kind of dropped?
It never came out.
Another question for me to ask Mark, I guess. Yeah, that's a good.
Where the fuck is the book?
Because I was thinking of Garth's war stories, Garth Ennis' stuff, which
ask
I love.
About why he got fired off of Authority?
I'm thrilled he's talking to me. Christ, it's been 3 years since I've spoken to him because his schedule is. Oh, I can't do it. No, I'm going on holiday again.
You know, it's Fraction doing an accent, right?
All right, there you go. Should okay. I? God damn it!
It's not even him.
Matt.
Duped again.
Damn it, man. All right, let's see. My pistola. Hey, Brian, I've always been a fan of creative teams, and one of my favorite teams of late have been Stuart Immonen. I will say it right. Catherine was teaching me all weekend.
What is it?
Immonen.
Seriously, I didn't know that.
I know that. You did. Now that Stuart is on New Avengers, are you guys planning to do a long-term collaboration? Because I think on Marvel's biggest title, a consistent creative team would be the best thing, like you've been doing with Ultimate Spider-Man, because there's a lack of that. Artists usually only stick around for arcs, and it would be great to see a solid team like Stuart and yourself working on this book until you're done telling your story. Oh, and can we have a 616 version of John Sutris in New Avengers now?
I wholeheartedly agree with everything you said, Mr.
My pistola. My pistola.
You are completely correct. And that was why Heaven and Earth was moved to get Stuart onto New Avengers, because I think that though we've had some amazing art situations on New Avengers, I think that people really were relieved when Lanil was on the book for a lengthy period of time. The dogs are coming back in. That's what all the noise is.
No problem.
And so I'm happy to tell you that, yeah, the idea, the plan, and, of course, that's completely up to Stuart, is for him to be on the book for as long as he would like to be. And story-wise, he is certainly committed well into the next year and is very aware of what the plans are for him.
Cool.
So, and I have the pages in my hand, Stuart pages, and they are fantastic. And Tom Brevoort knows how they make me so happy that before he calls to tell me some shitty thing, he sends me Stuart pages. Like, he'll send me back to Stuart pages and go, look at that, and they'll call me with some bad news.
And forgive me, I wasn't paying attention. Has Stuart begun, or when's his first issue?
Stuart is 55, so okay. That would be the next issue.
I like, honestly, I don't mind if it's arc to arc. I mean, I can appreciate if in the middle of the arc
I don't do fill-ins. I don't
do
fill-ins.
No, and so, I understand that. But honestly, I got no problem with that.
Yeah, but when there's we did both, and I think I've come to learn to appreciate it. If at all possible, you know, have a regular team.
I can appreciate that, even just to a matter of both of you understanding how each other works.
Yes, and so, we've had a nice couple of years together, and
absolutely.
It went very well. This could go very, 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 very well.
Very cool. You know, Catherine, and I mentioned this off the air, was in town promoting Runaways, which, great first issue. And I will say again, they are, again, another one of those nicest couples in comics, and Catherine was just awesome this weekend, and it was a lot of fun being able to talk to her more. And I hope to have the opportunity to talk to Stuart and get him out of his shell, hopefully, someday.
One day.
Marco 19, might we be seeing Thor in New Avengers anytime soon?
Who? I don't know who that is. No, Thor is now starring in his own monthly comic, written by the crabby J. Michael Straczynski.
For one more issue, or however long it's
going. It's more than one.
Well, yeah, only a couple or whatever. Yeah. Any hints to what type of project you're working on with Olivier Coipel?
Whose Thor? Voice? No, it's not Thor. I'm just joking. I just said that. No, I can't say just yet, but it's large and in charge. It's something I'm very excited about because I have obsessed over our time together on House of M and how much it meant to me, and getting back into him with some things that he wants to do with pages that I want to see him do with pages. And so the series, though it's a very, very important part of the Marvel Universe, will be also, I think, a very important chapter in the legacy of Coipel. That is the plan.
Very cool. Will New Avengers play into the big Young Avengers Scarlet Witch project that Heinberg and Chung are working on for next year?
I'm going to say yes, with the caveat that I'm not sure that was announced that way. So, and he may be asking that question in one of those ways to get me the answer to confirm that that's what Alan Heinberg and Jimmy Chung are working on. So I tentatively say yes.
I know Wolverine has 1,000,000,001 books, but have you ever thought of doing some sort of Wolverine spotlight issue on New Avengers? Surely you must have some Wolverine stories you must want to tell.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, we've done sequences where Wolverine was, you know, chugging after the hood and stuff. He's gotten some face time.
Or the shower scene with Skrull Kreen as Spider-Woman, right?
I think you may have dreamt that.
Okay.
But Wolverine does get, and I take pride in that, too, is that when people think he's just showing up to sales, but he's actually a very important part of the title. So, you'll be getting a lot of Wolverine coming up.
Rod Nunley. Thanks for doing this once again, guys. Always a treat. My question, how do you make your character's dialogue feel so natural? Anytime I write dialogue, it seems stiff to me. Any tips on working that out? Lotion. Handfuls of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Aloe vera.
Yes.
You know, there's quite a few techniques you can try. Number one is you have to train yourself to listen to the world. There's no real way to do this other than to just do it. But really listen. Wherever you work, just, you know, close your eyes or just train yourself to really listen, not to what people are saying, but actually how they're saying it, the cadence of their speech, their start and stops. It can get very fascinating and hypnotic. And only my wife is really aware of when I'm not listening to what you're saying, I'm listening to how you're saying it thing. I don't do it to her so much, but I do it to other people, and she sees me doing it. It's very funny. When I meet new people who have different expectations than the people I'm used to being around, I will start downloading it. And another thing you can do, and I think this is a lot of fun to do, and it's a playwright technique, but it really works, is just take two people and put them in a room and start typing. And you will find that inherently one of your characters will start annoying the other character. Just start, hello, how are you? You know, just start a conversation with the two characters and start typing. And just type and type and type and type. And they will give you their own voices. And another thing to do is, and it's the easiest but the most effective, is to base them on people that you know. Not on yourself, but on people that you know. I've said, you know, publicly that Aunt May is based on my mother. Mm-hmm. And it's a dead-on impression of my mother that only my brother can appreciate. Everyone else who reads it just appreciates that it seems like a real person.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But to me, I know exactly who it is. And a lot of writers do this. I mean, almost every writer does this. And it's the most effective way to write honestly. And, again, you can't just hammer anyone. You can't just make everyone your girlfriend or what have you. But if you find that right person that's the right voice, you know, booyah, as the kids say.
I hear you. Chazbot, thanks again for doing this, guys. Bendis, can you give us listeners any insight into just how far ahead you have all your current titles scripted out? I'm sure I'm not the only person curious to see where you are now that Secret Invasion is well in the rearview mirror.
Well, you know, usually I'm 6 months ahead. That's my comfort zone, and there are a couple books that I am 6 months ahead, and then Spider-Woman I'm actually 10 months ahead.
Cool.
But on New Avengers I'm less than 6 months ahead. I'm only a couple months ahead, and it's bothersome to me. And the only reason I'm not behind. I'm well ahead, but to me it feels behind because it's out of my comfort zone. But that's only because during Secret Invasion, a lot of that lead time got eaten away by the work of Secret Invasion, and I was working on the Powers pilot and a feature film that you will never ever see.
Bummer,
and boohoo.
Okay,
they paid. And
attaboy.
You know what are you gonna do? So, I'm spending the summer catching everything back up and getting it going and rolling into the creator on stuff as well.
Excellent. Does it make then trying to get back to the comfort zone? I know part of that was too that you could kind of allow ideas to kind of hit you freely.
Yeah, what happens? No, I'm plotted out for literally years on some titles.
Okay.
And so it's just a matter of sitting and typing those ideas that are all approved, and that's great. I still have the buffer of if the next arc of New Avengers I wanted to go in a different direction, I can.
Okay.
Right now it's just a matter of typing out what I got and doing what I want to do, and I'll be there. I'll be there, and I'll be there by the end of the summer. I'll be everywhere I want to be.
Okay. Matthew Brown. Bendis, within the pages of Mighty Avengers, Dan Slott has been calling his team the real Avengers. Shouldn't you be slapping this young upstart down and reestablishing your dominance?
Oh, he's such a cute little fuzzy madball of a person.
Can't wait to see him in Chicago.
To him, they are the real Avengers. But to the rest of us, not really.
Maybe take away his favorite characters and replace them with D-Man and Justice. Bite your tongue,
love
Matthew
that.
Brown.
Isn't that who's on his team?
I like
Jocasta and Will-O-The-Wisp and...
I give Dan tons of credit. I love that
Bug,
team.
Bug from Micronauts, and
he's making it work, putting together a kind of traditional team, but taking them in different directions. And
yeah, no, I'm planning. Gleefully happy that book exists because for those who buy my book every month out of hate and spite and want to yell and cry and carry on, and then I go, why don't you buy his book? And they go, because I want to yell at you.
Well, and, you know, I think a lot of writers kind of got into a corner with Hank Pym, and I think Dan is finding a way of still making him the damaged guy that he is, but also, all right, I'm a damaged guy, but I'm trying, you know, he's trying to redeem himself.
No, and the cool
it's
thing
awesome.
Is that when Dan is done, I get to reveal that this Hank is still a Skrull. So it's cute that he's, it's fun watching it, like, it's like watching your gerbil, like, run around in his wheel for no reason. that's why I really like watching Dan write this book.
Very nice.
I'm just going to erase it all. I'm joking. Of course I'm joking.
Of course you are.
It's not true at all.
Also, how do you like what Morrison...
I actually, up until this moment, I did not realize they were still publishing that book. So that's good news. I'll start reading that. I love that joke. And I love that you love that joke.
I laugh. Also, how do you like what Morrison, Rucka, and company are doing with... And don't forget Paul Dini, Matthew Brown, are doing with the Bat books over at the competition. I honestly have never been this interested in the Bat family as I am now.
I like it. I couldn't help... While I was reading Batman and Robin, going, that ain't Batman.
So shut up. And I, come on. Exactly. That was a blast. That was a great book. Honestly, and I even bought Streets of Gotham and Gotham Sirens, the Dini books. And
yeah, the only thing that DC's doing that annoys the holy shit out of me, other than their wacky paper stock decisions that they should be slapped for, is the fact that they put the name of a creator on the book, and then you take the book home and it's not them or it's not totally them, and that's quite annoying.
I know that's happened a couple times in the past. And
I know that there was a Jeff Johns one that got a lot of attention, but there's been some Paul Dini books that I take home, and I'm like, that ain't Paul Dini. I know it's an insult to those other creators, but I was kind of excited to read the Paul Dini thing, and it was only two issues of Paul Dini. And
I didn't
the only thing about this.
Okay, I didn't see the Johns one or the Dini ones. The ones that I saw were Gail Simone and McKeever.
Where, I don't know who is that.
Sean McKeever and Gail Simone. Shut up. I know, of course. Yeah, exactly.
Gail is listening to this entire podcast and waiting for the other shoe to drop on the joke I told earlier with her head throbbing.
Do you have more headlines that you'd like to pass on?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like
No.
Okay. Ultimate Samwise Gamgee.
That's all I wrote. I'll have more next time.
All right, that's fine. I'm looking for a good laugh line that we can go out.
But it does seem a lot of effort being put into the Bat books to do something very unique and very exciting. I was just goofing around before, but that's great. I am supremely annoyed that Frank Quitely is already doing a fill-in issue in the new previews.
And man,
there's already another guy that I do a month a goddamn book.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
And I know there's plenty of Marvel books that don't do that, too, and it annoys the shit out of me there, too. Listen, no one was more annoyed that Ultimatum didn't ship monthly than me.
I got to tell you,
nobody. I lost money on that puppy.
In the Batman universe, I'll tell you, I've seen the first two issues of Detective, and Batwoman is really good. And
I have it. I have not popped it yet, because I'm reading Xbox Magazine. But I did purchase it with my own damn dollars.
It's another great Greg Rucka story. And JH is, man, you thought he was like,
I love him,
innovative
love
on
him.
Promethea. This is the JH Williams that you
love him
because yeah, he's going, man, he's doing David Mack in this fucking book.
And is he really?
Yeah, I honestly like there are and I'm stealing from Josh Flanagan, a Vi fanboy, but he hit the nail on the head. There are times when he's Alex Ross. There are times when he's David Mack. He is trying so many different styles in this book. It is awesome. It is incredible.
Oh, good. I'll read it tonight. You got me all excited.
I'm telling you, visual feast.
On the pod, you know, I always have to read my Marvels first because I need them for research.
I understand.
I will read that.
Ultimate Samwise Gamgee. Any hints on what the heck, on what the backup features are going to be in your books and when they might appear?
I can't say yet. I know they want to announce that later, but the Avengers ones I am doing, and they're all approved, and they're very, very unique, and it's something I've been dying to do for literally about 4 years. So, and this is a perfect place to do them, and I'm very, very excited about it. So a lot of effort will be put forth. What's of primary importance to me is that they're not throwaway stories. They're not just,
good,
here's the page fillers. And I know people dumping on the Marvel and applauding the DC, but what Marvel said was they are going to do them, but they do not want to do dumpy throwaways, and a lot of those backup features in the history of both companies are dumpy throwaway features. They're nothing. You can't think of two in the history of the world that you remember, and we're trying to come up with things that aren't that, and now we have them.
Okay, Marty Pascoe and Walt Simonson on Dr. Fate.
And
Archie Goodwin and Walter Simonson
and
on Manhunter.
When they collected it. You remember in the collection. That's what you remember.
No, from the 80s. But no, I was reading in the 70s, man. Are you kidding? That was my exciting moment with Walt. I'm like, dude, tell me about Dr. Fate.
You're like the warlord running around your park.
It's true. I'm wearing the helmet now. Mr. Grell. Scar Tarith, can you tell me about its origins?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ultimate Samwise Gamgee.
And then quickly you changed as soon as Amethyst. The Gemworld,
I couldn't read Amethyst.
You were all about the Gemworld.
Yeah.
Your little Gemworld, yeah. And you acted it out in your house.
Absolutely. Yes, I did. Yeah. All right, you got me again. Right. Ultimate Samwise Gamgee. Any hints on... Okay, did that... I'm sorry. I'm in a loop. Any news on more Alias with you and GaDOS? Will it be Max?
Next year.
Will it be Max when you do it? Or will it be set in the past or present of Jessica Jones?
Present... And I don't know if it's Max yet. I have not made that decision. It will be based solely on material.
Okay.
If it is Max needed, I will do Max. If not, it won't be. But I'm not going to force the issue.
Okay.
There's been no mandate for Marvel. I think I would lean towards Max, just because why the hell not?
Okay. Outside of
certainly won't hurt the sales or anything. But only if. To get some swear words out of my head.
I was going
to
say, with the absence of GaDOS art, swear words, and ass-fucking, other than that, I really don't see much of a difference between 616 Jessica and Max
in
Jessica.
In real life? What?
You know. Well, yeah, that goes without saying.
I'm annoying the shit out of you today. Aren't
no, no. I, you know,
yeah, I can hear
I miss
hear
you. It. No, no. You're, no, are you kidding? It's
so
I,
you missed me yesterday. Now you're kind of...
No,
you,
I... No,
you,
I
now you forget why you missed me.
Not at all.
I don't know.
Is it Saber... I'm just trying to figure out Saber per Zada's eye chart like avatar.
I don't know. I'm not looking at this.
Saber per Zada. Okay. And I'm sure I'm getting it wrong. Actually, it's Saber per Zada. Okay.
I'm watching Keyboard Cat videos. I'm not looking at the portion.
All right, I've got a One Step Beyond rerun from like 1959 that's on my 90-year-old television. It's true. Bendis.
What decade do you live in?
In my apartment, 65.
Yeah, would you just watch Reel to Reels all day? And
Yeah. Ooh, hey, look at this 3D panorama.
I got a stag film.
I was going to say, a Viewmaster. It's a 3D Viewmaster, exactly. The stereophones. Put them on. Bennis, what do you think the responsibilities are of a writer to be as authentic as possible in regard to historical accuracy, cultural traditions, or even ideologies belonging to a particular group of people? In other words, is it okay for a writer to write about a group of people or a time period, but disregard whatever they want in order to serve the story?
No, I think you have to be totally authentic, don't you? I mean, the trouble is the slavishly authentic to the point where it bores the shit out of the reader.
Yep.
It's, you know, you look at the best movies, for example, we'll take it out of comics for a while. The best movies are the ones that you just know you're in the hands of someone who knows exactly what's going on. And then when you watch the DVD, you go, wow, they knew everything, man. They knew all this shit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even like the stupid as Titanic was, the fact that those plates were the right plates, and you know what I mean?
Sure.
And they didn't have to, like, give you 10 minutes in the movie about the plates. But I think it's very important because, and you learned this very early on, and I certainly learned it, that someone reading your book is an expert on whatever it is you're talking about or passing by. And I had done a graphic novel in college about Amazons, and I had my friends did photo reference on my friends pretending to do bows and arrows, you know.
Okay.
And in Mealy got letters going, excuse me, I am an archer and you did it all wrong. And you never want to ever get a letter like that again.
Sure.
So no matter what you're doing, be it voodoo magic or whatever, you sit there and you do your homework just so you know you're not doing anything that would embarrass yourself, because someone out there reading it is an expert in that type of car or that type of plane or that type of gun, and you just want to make sure that you're representing.
I hear you.
Yeah, so yeah, it's very important.
Very long answer. And then he asks, do you think the impact of some of your stories can lessen over time with the changing or often resetting climate of the Marvel Universe? Or is that not something that bothers you at all? For example, do you think Avengers Disassembled is less impactful now than that Vision and Hawkeye are among the living again in some capacity, or that the House of M is less impactful because Iceman has his powers back?
That part doesn't bother me because there's other aspects where you worry about something aging. Like, you'll notice that Obama is not showing up in any of my comics. even if the president shows up. No, because it did. Though it's cool right now, it desperately ages a piece.
I understand.
Terribly, you know. And,
sure.
And you'll notice we've talked about this in the past, but I have taken my pop culture references way down to what would be Godfather and Ghostbusters and, you know, stuff that stands up. So you're not making Jonas Brothers jokes that, you know, a year from now everyone's going, who? You know, like even
Absolutely.
They got that Jonas Brothers joke. Man, that it ain't going to age well. I see them coming down the street. It's funny today. It ain't funny 2 years from now. It just isn't. It's a Spice Girls joke. You know?
Did you hear Carl Reiner has like spoken to that about the old Dick Van Dyke show? And he said he was militant about that with his writers. And it's like, I don't want to hear Jack Parr's name. I don't want to hear Khrushchev's
name.
Yeah,
no. It's a real. You learn it. You know.
Yep.
And I have friends of mine that gleefully wallow in the pop culture references and political figures and love it, and they're having a great old time. And God bless them. I think that the reason Ultimate Spider-Man first arc is in its kabillionth printing is that that Peter Parker isn't wearing a Fred Durst red hat. It's true. I remember that was one of the choices that was available to us visually, but was hot back then, and I specifically made choices that you don't want to open it up 10 years from now and think that it looks like the Breakfast Club.
Well, and, you know, Ruckus said the same thing about this first issue of Batwoman. There's a scene with Batman. And I asked, I said, is that Dick Grayson or Batman? He's like, it doesn't matter because...
It's perfect answer.
Yes, absolutely. 10 years from now, who cares? Because, like, Grant Morrison's JLA run, and it's the one thing I pick on with poor Grant, and it's okay because it was the status quo of the moment, the blue Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Hate the fucking blue Superman. You know, the blue electric Superman.
Yeah, like, I wasn't particularly a fan of the Iron Spider costume, and it shows up in Fuchs's Ultimate Spider-Man.
Sure.
And it does feel like, well, what is that? And I think our lack of explanation of it is probably the best way to go. Oh, that's what he was wearing that day. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So that's the best you could do. And not that there's anything wrong with it, and it certainly fit the story. I like the story of the Iron Spider a great deal. But yeah, it's one thing that sticks out to me is that was of that moment versus other things.
Sure.
Like that, I think of that more than I think of Avengers Disassemble. If anything... Avengers Disassembled and House of M, particularly if I may be looking at the world this way, but they seem to be liked more now than they were when they first. They seem to be appreciated more now. Avengers Disassembled because I stayed on the book, like I didn't abandon it.
Yeah.
So people see it as much more legitimate start to a run than the massacre.
It first appeared to be
that everyone. Saw it as, and House of M being so different from Civil War seems to has a charm, and the artwork, I said the other day, it's certainly aging very well visually, which is something you worry about as well, that things, you know, what you don't want is to look back on a book, and like so some of the 90s books particularly, you look back on
oh,
and
God,
go,
yeah.
Oof,
oh my God!
Well, what were we thinking? You know, it's like
yes.
wearing leg warmers or something. You
yes,
know, you don't want to do the artistic version of the leg warmers
or the fucking Avengers cartoon. Voof!
Like the big shoulder pads and stuff.
Yeah, call me crazy. Exactly.
So I think about that a lot. That's what I think of. And you can't control all of it. You know.
Sure.
You look back on those issues of Marvel Team Up where Peter Parker's in the disco ball suit and
right.
And at the time, it sure looked great. And so you don't know exactly how it's going to go, but I think it's the best way to go.
When we were in college, Miami Vice looked cool, and now it's as leisure suity as Starsky and Hutch is.
So my question to you is, why are you still wearing it?
Because really,
why are you still rocking the Don Johnson faux beard?
Because the T-shirt and the lounge jacket are here to stay in my wardrobe.
Subs, let me tell you how it is. It's over. Over. It's a big. What this was is a roundabout intervention. We're just waiting for you to get to.
I just got
your Miami Voice clothes.
I just got my fade looking, you know, the right way. My hair and everything. It's a
exactly
perfect wedge.
And you're gonna hang up and go listen to "Coming Into Air Tonight" by Phil Collins and dance around your apartment and listen to your Vangelis.
Vangelis. Ugh, yikes. No, but I'll watch an SCTV DVD. Will that work? Is that okay?
No, you won't. You'll watch Miami Vice. And
no, I have. Why?
Well, Belvedere.
I'll admit to having the first season of Miami Vice, but that's it. Because that is good Michael Mann stuff. But then after
sure.
the first, I even abandoned the show in the second season. Come on.
I don't. You abandoned it to go watch Facts of Life.
No, as soon as the car changes from the black Ferrari to the white car, it's time to stop mm-hmm. watching Miami Vice.
you're a fan club member of Magnum PI. You're rocking the mustache and the
and the shirt. And the curly hair. He's dreamy. Sergeant
Pepper. Not to mention that you talk to your car and call the Knight Rider all the time.
Michael. Michael, I can't make that left turn in this traffic, and you know it. That wraps up part two of the Bendis tapes. More coming. We've got plenty of questions left. More questions from Brian's Jinx World message board. We will get to those and learn more in the next session of the Bendis tapes. But that'll do it for this edition of Word Balloon. Thanks again for listening. John Suntress reminding you that Word Balloon is all over the internet. We are at our website, wordballoon.com. Come there for an archive of well over 200 creator interviews of comic book makers. Also, check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/wordballoon. And you'll see some random videos that I've been making. I'm calling them Word Balloon Moments. Nice impromptu creator interviews and fun moments at my favorite comic book stores. Any questions or comments about the show, you can come to the Word Balloon message board. There's a link right there at wordballoon.com and at jinxworld.com. You can follow me on Twitter, John Word Balloon, or you can check out my Facebook page. And you can also just email me, john@wordballoon.com. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2009.